It was a night that people were waiting for several months. It was the home opening basketball game, my senior year of high school. Small town Iowa, medium-sized gym, but packed wall to wall. Not an empty seat, the crowd spilling out into the lobby. The crowd was excited. I could see teachers, people from the town and the community. There were college and university coaches there recruiting, which made it more exciting. The players were pumped. The crowd was pumped. The coaches were pretending to not act pumped. And it was electric. And as exciting as it was and as packed as that gym was, it just as well have been empty for me. Because as many people who were there, my focus was not on who was there, but who was not there, my dad. He lived 83 miles away. He said he would be there, and he wasn't there. And instantly, my mind went to, he didn't miss a single game the year before. It wasn't to see me, it was to see my brother Jim. And Jim's off playing at Northwest Missouri State, and he's a no-show for me. He didn't miss a single girls' game the year before that. It was to see my sister KK play. She's KK, her name is KK, but she's white. KK is now, that was a joke. KK is now off playing at Iowa State, and Dad's a no-show for me. What was it in me that he wouldn't make that same drive for me that he would make for my siblings? And my heart, my mind was just filled with doubt. And in that packed gymnasium, as I'm getting ready for a game, I was ready physically. My coaches had done a great job of preparing me. I was in wonderful shape. But I was not ready because of my mind and my heart. Now, picture, I don't have anyone in that crowded gym who would notice. Or often, people who might notice something as amiss, but have no clue how to step in. Or worse, sometimes people notice and don't care. But I did have someone, an assistant coach, Coach Myers. And Coach Myers was different because, like this testimony from Young Life, there was Fellowship of Christian Athletes in my high school. And somebody recruited Coach Myers to go to a summer camp, and he had gone, and his life was changed, as was his wife's. And he became a noticer. And so Coach Myers sees me. He calls me over from the layup line as we were warming up, preparing for this game. And he said, "What's wrong?" I said, "My dad's not here." And he said, "He'll be here." And he said, he does what adults sometimes do, stretch the truth a little bit to try to encourage a young person. He said, he's probably stuck in traffic. I was 17. I didn't realize there is no traffic in Denison, Iowa. There wasn't then, and there's not now. But he assured me, and he said, "Look at me." And we locked eyes, and he said this, "I love you. Look at all your teammates." He points to them. He says, "Every one of those guys loves you. You got this." And suddenly, I was ready to play the game. You know, he did a few things. He noticed something was wrong. And he came near. Then he asked some questions to really discern what the problem was. And he offered encouragement. The words, "It's going to be okay. I love you." You know, in that moment, when God felt distant, God came near through a coach. And God worked through him and others. Some of the words of affirmation I longed to hear from my dad, I heard from Coach Myers. You know, when God decided to save the world, he didn't shout from heaven. He came close. Wayne read the passage from John chapter 1, and the last verse he read from the New Living Translation, the Word became human and made its home among us. The King James says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And very powerfully in the Message Bible, the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In the Greek, that dwelt among us literally means pitched his tent. He didn't build a fortress. He pitched a tent. You know, God could have saved us from a distance, but love doesn't work that way. Love comes close. And as he had this plan from heaven to save the world, it could have been that he wrote a best-selling book. He started a podcast. He could start a TV program. Any number of things, but he did something that was far more radical, far more costly, far more personal. He had a kid and he moved down the street. He came close. You know, John put it this way, the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. Here's the big idea for us today. When God feels distant, he comes near through people and he invites us to do the same. This incarnational message, it's interesting. Stan chose a song that had, and you probably noticed, some words about the stable and the throne and God coming near. Like, is that a Christmas song? Which is kind of funny, right? Every Christmas song is just a praise song because Christmas, of course, is so central to the Christian message. And so December is not the only appropriate time to sing these wonderful lyrics. You know, for us, God comes near and he asks us to do the same. And it's not just from a distance giving us instructions, but empowering us through his Holy Spirit. He loves us and he loves others through us. And like Coach Myers, he calls us to notice, to be discerning. And the Holy Spirit will even work through us supernaturally to see somebody having a smile on their face but a frown in their heart. And everybody in the room thinks, oh, she's so happy. But you say, are you okay? And it's God working through you, noticing, and you come near. That's what we do. We notice. We come near. We make the visit. We encourage. We sit longer. We don't have to have the words. It might be quiet. We just hold space for someone. We write the card. And when appropriate, we offer to pray. Jesus modeled love for his neighbor in that he knew names. He accepted dinner invitations. He shared ordinary life. Before people listened to his preaching, they experienced his presence. And again, it's a great model for us. Some of you know this story, but a couple of weeks ago, one of our members, Bob Stump, whom I refer to as the mayor of Fawn Lake, Bob embodied this incarnational message in that he noticed. And he noticed someone, not with his eyes, he noticed the absence. And he visited visited someone who's not part of Fawn Lake Church, but someone who lives in the neighborhood who has gotten a prognosis of terminal cancer. This individual is dying, and he knows he's dying. And Bob visited with him and asked for, you know, 20 minutes, and this couple kept him there for 3 hours in this wonderful experience. And while Bob's there, he goes the extra mile, and he asks, would you be okay if I brought my pastor to visit you? And they said, yes. So the following week, Bob took me, and we sat with this wonderful couple. And, you know, I didn't send a sermon. I didn't bring answers. I just showed up, and I listened to this wonderful story, this very coherent narrative of life and death. And I asked for permission to pray, and they said, we would be glad to have you pray for us. And then Bob went another step, and he brought something very tangible. This gentleman was part of the pickleball crew, and his health has prevented him from participating recently. And so Bob went to the pickleball group, and he had each one of them sign a birthday card to this individual who was turning 70 years old the day after we were with him. And he apologized for not having the strength to get out of his chair to see us to the door. And of course, he said there's no apology needed. And we walked to the door, and I turned back and looked, and this gentleman had the card open, his wife behind him, in as he sat in his recliner, she looking over his shoulder, and they were so engrossed and big smiles on their faces as they read the words of encouragement in that card. You know, God wasn't loud in that room. God was near. And ultimately, we can't love a concept. Love requires a face, a name, a story. The Word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood. Johnny Erickson Tada is someone whose name you might be familiar with. And a great quote from her: the Creator who flung stars into space confined himself to the womb of a peasant girl. That's not just amazing. That's love coming down to where we are, the incarnation. And since God reached us through presence and proximity, we must reject distance and choose presence as well. When God feels distant, he comes near through people, and he invites us to do the same. Tim Keller puts it this way: God didn't send a list of instructions. He came himself. He got dirty with the dirt of our lives because love gets close. Now, this love is not some sneaky evangelism strategy. It's not a bait and switch where we lure people in and then drop the gospel bomb on them. And the relationship is not a means to an end. It is about the relationship. We love God. We love our neighborhood, our neighbor, and the relationship is the mission. Incarnation doesn't start with changing someone's life. We hear the end of the story of this young life testimony. And thank you, Cheryl. Beautiful testimony. It's always awkward to clap in church, but we all wanted to clap really loud. They're like, that's not appropriate. That young life staffer, I'm sure he started with learning the name. Relationships tend to start that way. Author Brené Brown put it this way: people are hard to hate, close up, move in. That's what we're called to do. And again, I've said it, I'll say it again. I'm happy for you to be salty about me saying it to you. Be careful the media voices you listen to who are calling you to hate. It couldn't be more anti-Jesus. That's not a statement that gets a lot of loud amens, but that is the truth. And I would rather you be offended at me reminding you of that than for us to continue blindly down a path that can be very entertaining, but very destructive. God has called us to love. And that is swimming upstream against the current, because it's so much easier, of course, to criticize, maybe to point a finger, to scapegoat, and even to hate. But that's not the path of Christ. And as we follow in his footsteps, that's not the path he leads us to. Here's the nice thing to take the pressure off of us. We don't have to fix anyone. We don't have to preach at anyone. We simply just come close. And that's how God still moves into the neighborhood. Our neighbors will see God's glory not when we hand them a religious tract, but when they experience God's love through our sustained, genuine presence. Love moved into your world, and now love can move through you into theirs. Here's our assignment. It's specific, and yet it's broad, and it requires very specifically for you to seek the Lord and what this means, and that's this. This week, move one step closer to one person. Let's pray. God, thank you for coming close to us. Teach us to notice, to show up, and to make your nearness visible through our presence. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.